even Google.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. The economy is getting everybody, even seemingly untouchable companies like Google. Google's stock is down $50 this morning after a disappointing profit report. Shares are below $500 apiece for the first time since April. Yes, still $500 apiece. Google did have some one-time charges last quarter, so things might be better than they look on paper. The company says it's fine. IBM looks rock solid. Profits climbed 22% in the second quarter, and IBM raised its outlook for the year. Citigroup had an awful quarter. It lost $2.5 billion. But just like the other banks this week, that was better than expected, and Citigroup shares are 10% higher. All this adds up to some minor losses on Wall Street so far. The Dow is down 29 points to 11,417. The NASDAQ has dropped 31, mainly that Google announcement. The S&P 500 has dropped 4. European shares are up more than 1%. In Asia, the markets closed 0.5% lower. Last year, Mattel was getting kicked in the teeth, all those toy recalls from China. But things are looking much better this morning. A good profit report for one. And yesterday, the company won a huge lawsuit against the people who make the Bratz dolls. More on that from Steve Henn.
Since 2001, the toy industry has been torn apart by an epic battle in the Valley of the Dolls. Mattel's iconic Barbie doll has been locked in mortal combat for market share with a posse of younger club-hopping party dolls, the Bratz.
The girls with a passion for fashion.
See it tonight.
Parents might hate the Bratz' pouty demeanor and skimpy outfits, but doll experts, even my own six-year-old, are obviously fascinated by their signature look.
They have big eyes, and then this... they have big lips, like that big.
Mattel alleged that look was created by one of their own employees, who then sold the idea to a rival. Yesterday, a jury agreed. That means Mattel could end up earning royalties or even owning the Bratz line, which rakes in approximately $1 billion in sales each year. In Washington, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
Here's a pretty cool story. The Big Mac turns 40 this year, and McDonald's is holding a songwriting contest for a new jingle. There are 5 finalists. Their songs are posted online where people can vote on them. One of the finalists is Tamian Derek Bain. He's 29 years old and lives in Miami.
To all beef patties with a special sauce. Cheese, pickles, lettuce, onions on a sesame seed.
When he was 14, Tamian robbed a McDonald's at gunpoint. He was treated as an adult and served 12 years in prison. That's where he got his interest in music. McDonald's announces the winner next week.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Clarkson Potter's The Splendid Table's How to Eat Supper, the cookbook inspired by the radio program for people who love to eat, available now. The Marketplace Entrepreneurship Desk is supported by the Kauffman Foundation of Kansas City, the foundation of entrepreneurship, online at kauffman.org.
Today is Nelson Mandela's birthday. He's 90. South Africa has come a long way since apartheid, not just socially, economically as well. Gretchen Wilson gives us Exhibit A.
At this Guess clothing store, customers paw through racks of designer jeans and t-shirts. Sales here are exceeding all expectations. This mall has everything, from Prada sandals to Bulgari sunglasses. But it's in one of South Africa's former shantytowns, Soweto. This place was a hub of political activism during the anti-apartheid movement. Now, it's the seat of South Africa's emerging middle class. Store manager Temla Dlamini says these days, Sowetans want to be known for their buying power, not their poverty.
The thing is, you look at this new mall, people have, they feel that, you know, at last, they've got something that they can look at and they can be proud of. Everybody's excited about it.
Everybody, including Nelson Mandela, who headlined the mall's opening ceremony. And if you look past the fountains and skylights in this $65 million superstructure, it tells an even bigger story about how the country's economic aims have shifted in the 14 years since apartheid ended, from radical social democracy to full-scale capitalism. Cliptown, Soweto is an area just a few miles from where the mall now stands. Back in 1955, Nelson Mandela joined communists and other activists at this very spot. They called for the nationalization of the country's mining and banking industries. But after apartheid ended, the new leadership focused more on privatization and trade agreements than tightening government's grip on business. Political analyst Dale McKinley.
Capital-friendly policies were adopted across the board.
While that alienated the ruling party's longtime allies, the Communist Party and the Trade Union Federation, it reassured international investors, and it sparked GDP growth of about 5% nationwide. That's a catalyst for consumer spending, and businesses are thriving. In Soweto, shoppers say they're glad Johannesburg's formerly white suburbs are now not the only place to buy the latest fashions. In Soweto, South Africa, I'm Gretchen Wilson for Marketplace.
Now for an anti-mall story. We've been wondering whether businesses in walkable cities are doing better now that people are driving less. Mitchell Hartman takes a walk in Portland, Oregon.
Portland's Pearl District gets an almost perfect score. Streets are narrow, sidewalks are wide, there's lots of street-level retail. Eric Wernes and Aaron Heath are visiting from Boston.
We've been here for a day, and already we are getting around pretty easily.
It doesn't take very long to get anywhere. Someone will tell us, go 10 blocks if you want to find this store or whatever, and we're noticing that 10 blocks is like nothing.
Nearby in Chinatown, Christopher Yarrow has a shop selling home furnishings and knickknacks from Southeast Asia.
There's a combination of street traffic and also public transportation has a big effect. When people come down here or they walk into my store, I generally find that they're kind of looking for an experience.
Yarrow's happy that experience-seeking shoppers can mosey in on foot, but there's a downside. Portland's been planned to discourage driving, and there's not much parking. So Yarrow knows he's losing some potential customers to the not very walkable suburban mall. In Portland, I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for tuning in, and have a great weekend.
American Public Media.